Welcome back to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Well, you know, there's something special about living in Florida. I mean, we have all these wonderful things, like weather in the wintertime. You know, nothing beats it. And, of course, we have all these beautiful beaches and the Everglades. And then, of course, we also have all these little tiny insects and critters that can bite us and give us just about anything. No, we've already talked about Zika. In this segment, we're going to talk about a little thing called a screw worm and why it's causing problems in the Lower Keys. It's a flesh-eating pest that is a big problem, especially for one species, the key deer. I hope you're not having lunch. We're going to get a little bit disgusting here. It's only a problem in the Lower Keys. We're going to talk about trying to keep it from getting to the mainland. And joining me right now is Dr. Shelley Phillips, with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Dr. Phillips, welcome.
Thank you.
And we are trying to get Kevin Lowry from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on the line. As soon as we get them in, and we're just having some technical problems with that line, but we will get that in a moment. Dr. Phillips, let me start with this. I want to get a sense of what exactly is the screw worm and where it comes from. What can you tell us?
It's a fly by the technical name Cochlea maya omnivorax, and it does cause problems. Historically, you know, in Mexico and South America, it has been eradicated from the United States in 1966, and we have had outbreaks as late as 1972. But it was eradicated from Florida in 1957 and from the United States in 1966.
So you say it's a fly?
Yes.
All right. And so my understanding, again, in what I'm reading is, and I'm the layman here, is that it is a flesh-eating pest?
Yes, it does feed on the larvae, actually does feed on living tissue in contrast to decaying or a carcass.
What do we know about when we first spotted the screw worm here in the United States? And in my understanding, too, is only in the Lower Keys right now, correct?
Yes, we have an infested area, a zone that we refer to, and it does encompass Big Pine Key. So I think that is the Lower Keys.
And it's affecting right now just one species, the key deer?
No.
It has affected other pets and feral cats. We have submitted samples to the National Veterinary Service Laboratory in Ames, Iowa, and we have received confirmation on several species in addition to the key deer, and many of those were also confirmed to be negative. So we are submitting samples to the lab to get to for confirmation.
All right, so how exactly do we fight this? I mean, is it a matter of some kind of insecticide, or, you know, do we have to introduce some other species to try to battle the screw worm?
We actually have a program in a rearing facility located in the country of Panama. They raise sterile flies. We're shipping them over here to the infested area and releasing those sterile flies twice a week. They actually mate with the female wild flies and actually breed themselves out of existence. So we are trying to eradicate the wild screw worm fly.
You know, whenever you bring in another species to, or even within the species, I should say, another animal to come in, insect or whatever, to try to eradicate one, does that ever cause a problem? Are you ever worried about then losing control of the other?
No, these are sterile, irradiated flies that come over. They have a limited lifespan, and they will, you know, their lifespan will die, and these will be eliminated from the population.
All right. I've just been told that we do have Kevin Lowry again from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I want to go over to him real quickly. Kevin, are you there?
Yes, good afternoon.
Yeah, thank you so much. I apologize for the technical problems. So we're, you know, just understanding, you know, what the screw worm is and you know, what it can do and how we're trying to eradicate it. But I guess, you know, real quickly, I want to understand, you know, why is it attacking the key deer right now? It can attack other species, right?
Yeah, mammals with any open wounds, it can infest. And right now, the big issue with the federally endangered key deer is that the males are in rut. And so those bucks with the antlers are fighting for dominance to breed with the females. And so sometimes they get injured during the battles that they have. And once the antlers may get towards their bodies and cause some wounds, that is what happens, where the females can come along to those open wounds and lay eggs. And so it's mainly because of the rut, which is why the numbers increase so high this time of the year.
And then, you know, let me finish with this. It's just in the lower Keys, but, you know, how do you prevent it from spreading? How do you prevent it from getting to the mainland? Because if it does, what would it do here?
Well, what we're doing from our end, we're responsible for the endangered key deer and the refuge lands, and that's where our focus is on. And so we're doing two types of methods for treating this. We do a for the urban population and then the wild population. There's different strategies we're using. The urban population that unfortunately people have been hand feeding for so long, decades, that this urban population is really not scared of human interaction, which is no good. We want these animals to remain wild. But because they have been acclimated to the urban area, we are approaching them with doses that we're administering to make sure that it's, one, it's treating some that may have early signs of the screwworm, and then others is part of a preventative method. And so it's an oral anti-parasitic called doramectin that is spread on some bread. The bread absorbs that, so the medication doesn't drip off. And so those doses, since October 20th, when we started this, a total of 713 doses were administered. Now, the wild population is different because naturally they run when they see humans because we're considered a predator to them. And so there's a different approach we have to go with the wild population. So we have experienced wildlife biologists within the United States Fish and Wildlife Service and veterinarians that are going out into the more secluded habitat, and they're using darts to try to get some of the deer relaxed. And once the deer is in the hands of the veterinarians, they are using a topical treatment, and they're directly treating that deer with those wounds.
Right.
And then they give the deer antibiotics and fluids, and then they shave a number into the side of the hair of the deer, and they put a tag on the antler that is marking the number of the deer as well. And so far we've treated four directly with our veterinarians.
This is, I want to stop there for a moment because we're digging in a little bit deep. But this is a conversation I want to continue at a later time. And only because of time, I have to stop you there. Kevin Lowry, again, with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We also heard from Dr. Shelley Phillips of the U.S. Department of Agriculture earlier. Kevin, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I want to turn over right now to Nancy Klinginer from the WLRN Southernmost Bureau and Dr. Doug Mader from Marathon. He's a Marathon Veterinary Hospital. And, you know, all right, so we heard about what the screwworm is, why it's attacking the deer. You know, Kevin went a little bit into the weeds there on me on what they're doing to treat the deer. That, again, a conversation for later. But, you know, Nancy, first of all, I just want to get a sense of how people in the Keys, the lower Keys, are reacting to the screwworm. Because up here, we hear, well, it's down there. We're not as worried about it. By the way, we have this thing called Zika we're worried about. But how are people reacting down there?
They're really upset because they're seeing the animals that are being affected. And Dr. Mader lives on Big Pine, and he can tell you that, and he told me the other day, the key deer are really part of that island's DNA. They're part of the community. People are really upset.
You know, there's a checkpoint, right? If anybody brings pets to the Keys, there's now a checkpoint to, when you're leaving.
When you're leaving the Keys, there's a mandatory checkpoint to have your pet checked for screwworm. That's right.
Have they found anything on any animal?
Nope.
Because this can get on anything, even humans. It can affect us too, but we would see it and we would feel it, right?
Yes. It has affected humans, but that's extremely rare because you would notice that there were, you know, maggots eating your flesh, presumably.
Dr. Mader, I'm not laughing at that, even though I am. Dr. Mader, I'm wondering, too, what sort of questions have you had from any of your clients as to, you know, well, what their concerns are over now something else that could possibly attack their dog or cat?
Yeah, we've gotten quite a few questions, and a couple of points I'd like to make in the limited time we have. Number one, people see the key deer get euthanized when they have the screw worm, and what's happening is they're afraid to go to their veterinarian if they see a wound for fear that the USDA will come out and euthanize their pets or confiscate their pets. And I want to make it clear that will not happen. The USDA is there to help. They want you to get help. All they need to do is be notified so that they can keep track of the disease. The other thing it's important to point out is the life cycle from the fly laying the egg to the actual maggot hatching, which eats the flesh, is 21 hours. So if you check your pet twice a day and see the tiniest wound, get to the vet immediately. It's 100% treatable. And it's okay to let your pets outside as long as they don't have an open wound. If they have an open wound, the wound should be covered. For instance, I have two dogs that live outside all day long. I don't worry about them. They're not going to be affected by the screw worm. But I do check them twice a day. And if one were to get a cut on it, I would definitely keep it inside. So the idea is not to panic. It's a very treatable disease if it's caught early. And you can catch it early by just looking at your pets at least twice a day.
Nancy, I thought it was interesting what Kevin Lowry was mentioning a little while ago. I mean, you have key deer that are a little more used to people, and then you have some that are very wild. And so they want to keep that separation between humans and the key deer, but now they really can't because, well, they've got to check them, and they have to tag them, and they have to possibly treat them. So how is that working out?
Yeah, it's pretty ironic because if you drive through Big Pine, you'll see signs all over the place that say, do not feed the key deer. And they are referring to this as treating the key deer, not feeding them, but you are, you know, tossing them chunks of carrot and apple and eventually this bread. So I think they're just doing whatever they can in a crisis mode right now to get those deer treated because there's only 800 to 1,000 estimated animals in that herd, or there were, and they've already lost, you know, more than 100 of them.
And Dr. Mader, here as we finish up, you had said that, again, anyone who has a pet, not to freak out, that if in case that animal does get the screw worm, it does not mean that anybody's going to take the animal away and put them down. But what are they looking for exactly?
What you're looking for is a small wound, and when the fly lays the eggs, they look like tiny grains of rice lined up around the edge of the wound. And if you see that, don't wipe the eggs or the maggots off on the ground because they'll still hatch. So you want to bring it to your veterinarian so that the samples can be collected and they can be treated properly. And again, it can be treated simply. And I'd like to make a real quick point, and that is if people can't travel to the veterinarian, the Lower Keys SPCA will provide driving, and they will pick up your pet and you and take you to your veterinarian so you can get your pet treated.
And we'll put some of that information online, too, so people can know. Dr. Doug Mader from the Marathon Veterinary Hospital and Nancy Klinger, both joining us from the WLRN Southernmost Bureau in Key West. Dr. Mader, Nancy, thank you so much.
Thanks, Lewis.